This Week in Palestine, a service of the International Middle East Media Center, IMEMC.org, for the week of Friday, October 7th to Thursday, October 13th. The Palestinian Authority continues to face a state of lawlessness in the areas under its control. Israeli soldiers and settlers stage up their attacks against the Palestinians, harming civilians and damaging property. The civil resistance movement clings to the hope of halting progress of the separation wall. Meanwhile, Palestinian-Israeli top officials failed to reach an understanding prior to the expected summit between Ariel Sharon and Mahmoud Abbas. All that and more on This Week in Palestine. Stay tuned. Israeli soldiers shot and killed three unarmed civilians, including two children, in Gaza on Sunday night. The three were killed near the military electric fence, which separates Gaza from Israel. Dr. Ibrahim Al-Masdar, head of Al-Aqsa Hospital in Gaza, told IMEMC that an ambulance managed to fetch the bodies of the three residents only after contacting the District Coordination Office, which coordinates actions between Palestinians and Israelis. Israeli soldiers often shot at Palestinian ambulances, killing ambulance drivers and preventing civilians from reaching medical help. Also on Sunday at dawn, Israeli soldiers killed Hilal Darwish Abu Zahror, at 24 years old, an operative in Al-Aqsa Martyrs Brigade from Asira Shamaliya village near the West Bank city of Nablus. The Israeli Secret Security Services, Shin Bet, has reported uncovering three Hamas resistance cells. Shin Bet arrested 117 people suspected of carrying out attacks, in which five Israelis were killed and 70 injured, an Israeli source reported. Shin Bet said that the networks had carried out two the last few months, including the abduction and killing of Sassen Noriel, an Israeli resident, of Pitzat Zeev in Jerusalem, and the Beer Sheva suicide bombing at the end of August. On the other hand, Israeli Judge Moshe Drori of the Jerusalem District Court decided on Tuesday to pay Noam Federman a sum on 100,000 shekels for what was described as, quote, false arrest for alleged terrorist activity in recent years. Federman is the leader of the illegal Jewish terrorist organization Kar, which is notorious for its numerous shootings and stabbings of civilians, including the 1994 Hebron massacre, in which Brookline-born Kar member Baruch Goldstein opened fire on a mosque, killing 29 unarmed civilians as they prayed. Federman, who, like Goldstein, is a settler from Hebron, has participated in several attacks against Palestinian residents in Hebron. He has undergone 8 months of administrative detention and several months of house arrest. Judge Dory's decision marks the first time the State of Israel has issued monetary compensation for administrative detention or house arrest. In the aftermath of the Gaza pullout, Israeli settlers have a green light from American and Israeli governments to expand their illegal settlements as much as they want on stolen Palestinian land. New outposts are popping up all over the West Bank and settlements, expanding at unprecedented speed. Settlers moved into Al-Khadr village near Bethlehem, stealing 5 acres from the farm of Ismail Musa. They bulldozed part of the farm, preparing to build a new settlement called Neve Daniel. Settlers from another unauthorized outpost called Al-Qana, near the West Bank city of Salfit, attacked a Palestinian family who were harvesting olives, forcing them off of their own farm, the Palestinian news agency Wafa reported this week. The settlers had previously built a fence around the family's land in an attempt to annex it to the settlement. This week marks the beginning of guava and tangerine season for Palestinian farmers, but it will not come without its challenges. Settlers from the Tzufim and Sur Igal settlements near the West Bank city of Qalqinia have made a practice of diverting settlement wastewater into Palestinian farms at this time each year. The wastewater can make the fruit unsafe to eat and attracts insects. Farmers are forced to harvest early to save some of their fruits before bugs eat them. Meanwhile, Bethlehem is under attack. On Wednesday, Dr. Jad Ishaq, head of the Applied Research Institute of Jerusalem, reported Israel's plan to construct a new Jewish settlement in Beit Sahur, a Christian suburb of Bethlehem. The area that will be confiscated is approximately 75% of Beit Sahur. Dr. Ishaq said this would force Palestinians in this area to leave.
We will lose 3,600 dunams, almost three-fourths the current size of Beit Sahur, for the sake of this settlement. I consider this to be the greatest assault that took place ever on Palestinian town, and especially that Beit Sahur is predominantly a Christian town. I look at this with grave considerations, because this will be an invitation for most Palestinians to now see no light at the end of the tunnel and start leaving the area, because their livelihoods have been taken.
The Israeli army has already built a permanent checkpoint on the eastern entrance of the town and is planning to add a military base. This will effectively enclose Bethlehem on its eastern and northern borders. Israeli Minister of Defense Shaul Mofaz will appeal the Israeli High Court of Justice's recent ruling to ban the Israeli military from using Palestinian civilians as human shields during military operations. Israeli soldiers routinely use Palestinian civilians as human shields, especially during arrests. Civilians are forced to knock on the door of a given house where soldiers believe a man they want to arrest might live. As the wanted man exits his house, an armed unit tackles and arrests him. The motion to prohibit the army's use of Palestinians as human shields was initiated by attorney Marwan Dalal, who has also represented Palestinian-Israeli human rights organizations.
I think that the Minister of Defense and the military as a whole have a great credibility problem, because they were arguing that all the orders that they were issuing is for the protection of the Palestinian civilians. And after the decision of the court, the military was saying publicly, clearly, that these orders were put in order to protect the soldiers.
At least 250 residents, joined by 50 Israeli and international peace activists, marched to the wall in Balaim village west of Ramallah. The protesters marched to the site where the separation wall is under construction. They raised Palestinian flags and chanted slogans against the wall and the illegal annexation of the Palestinian farmland. Some attacked the construction materials with stones and pieces of metal. Israeli soldiers responded with tear gas and concussion grenades. They detained 15 Israeli peace activists, who were later released. However, two Palestinians who were also detained, Mohammed Al-Khatib, a member of the Popular Committee Against the Wall, and a member of the Belaim Village Council, remain in Israeli custody. A Palestinian security source in Gaza reported that two journalists, one American and one British, were abducted on Wednesday in the Gaza Strip by Fatah gunmen. They were released a few hours later. Dion Nissenbon, American journalist who was kidnapped, describes the abduction.
I was in Gaza with photographer Adam Pletz in the Mawasi in the central Gaza along the coast, with a translator and driver working on a story. And about 2:30 in the afternoon, as we were driving south towards Rafah, a taxi pulled up in front of us, and several masked gunmen got out of the car and ordered us out of our car, Adam and myself, and we went in the taxi, and they drove us away, basically, to a house.
Palestinian Interior Minister Nasser Youssef strongly condemned the abduction, adding that the Palestinian Authority will hunt down and arrest the persons behind it. Ziad Abu Mustafa, translator for the journalists, said the assailants demand to be employed at the Palestinian Authority.
The kidnappers are of a small group affiliated with Fatah movement. The group calls itself the Black Panther, recently became active in Khan Yunis area. All members of the group are unemployed, and their main demand was to employ 80 of their members at the Palestinian Authority departments, including 10 with high ranks.
Meanwhile, three Hamas leaders were kidnapped on Friday morning by a group calling itself Al-Farouq Omar bin al-Khattab group. The kidnapping is the first public activity for this group, which has not mentioned any affiliation with any Palestinian political factions. The group issued a statement saying they had kidnapped the leaders in response to, quote, Hamas disrespect of the Palestinian law, quote. The group also issued a warning to Hamas against further violations of the law. The three kidnapped were eventually released. Dr. Riyad al-Ras, one of the kidnapped, described what happened as a message to Hamas.
They knocked the door, and when I opened, they asked me to go with them. I asked about their identity. However, they refused to answer. So I refused to go with them. They started shooting and broke into the house. They beat me, my wife, and my daughter. Then they managed to seize me and put a mask on my head, took me in a car and headed towards the suburbs and stayed there for a while. 3 hours later, another man came and apologized for what happened, saying that they only wanted to send a message to Hamas.
Palestinian chief negotiator Dr. Saeb Erekat met with Sharon's advisor, Dov Weissglass, on Sunday. The meeting was scheduled to resume on Monday in an attempt to settle their differences before the Abbas-Sharon summit. However, on Sunday, the two found were at odds on all major issues. Weissglass reiterated his rejection of Hamas participation in the upcoming legislative elections, adding that Israel will enforce a full closure throughout the occupied Palestinian territories if Hamas is allowed to run. Weissglass also rejected Palestinian demands for the release of detainees who are being held indefinitely without trial in Israeli jails in violation of international law. He insisted that Israel should simply label detainees who may be released in the future at a time of Israel's choosing. The questions of further Israeli withdrawal from the West Bank and of transferring security control to the Palestinian Authority in areas marked for evacuation were also unresolved. Given the inability to agree on key issues, the Palestinian Authority in Israel agreed to delay the summit between Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas and Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon until November, when Abbas is scheduled to return from Washington, D.C. In light of the escalations in kidnappings and shootouts in Palestinian-controlled areas, a special parliamentary committee, which has been set up to deal with challenges to security, said that one of the central obstacles to security in the region was the deteriorating lines of communication between President Mahmoud Abbas and Prime Minister Ahmed Krea. The relationship between the two had been tense for months. However, a Palestinian source reported on Tuesday that Abbas and Krea had reconciled during a meeting on Monday and agreed to form a new government, which would serve until the general elections scheduled for January 2006. For the International Middle East MEA Center, imemc.org. In Beit Sahur, Palestine, this is Dina Awad.